This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show social media pages, you know, Facebook and True Social, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. President Trump, in an exclusive interview on Meet the Press earlier this week, outlined the historic success of his first 100 days. He said he charted the course for many more victories to come. The president said he sent a clear message. He will not relent in his mandate to secure our borders, rid our country of dangerous criminals, lower prices, end the globalist trade policies that have ripped off American workers and businesses for decades, and make America great again. Promises made, promises kept. With us now to kind of say whether or not he agrees with the president's synopsis of his first 100 days is former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier, who was state chair of the president's 2024 election campaign. Dr. Collier, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again. And for the record, I wish that you or Derek were governor right now. It would sure make things a whole heck of a lot easier in Kansas.
Oh, boy. Would we be moving jobs? Would we be moving this state ahead?
And by the way, we'd have real school choice. We'd have lower taxes. I mean, there's just an ad nauseum list of things that would be better for Kansans. But, you know
they can't even tell us how many employees are working from home.
No.
Versus coming to the office every day.
No.
You know, it's ridiculous. People, you know, taxpayers expect people to show up. You know, first spending tax dollars on you, you need to show up to work and every day. It's just amazing some of the things that are still going on, both on the state level and what President Trump is showing on the federal level.
Yeah.
You know, he's really working on draining the swamp. A lot of the oxygen's been sucked out of the air over tariffs and things like that, but we ought to talk about all of the hundreds of different things that the president has done, you know, well north of 100 executive orders on this. And I've been involved in a bunch of transitions, a couple presidential, 3 gubernatorial ones. And believe me, this is the biggest and best transition I've ever seen. You know, more has happened in the last 100 days than I can think of 3 or 4 transitions combined.
Well, certainly, I think the easiest one is immigration. I mean, if you look at just the absolute, it's like 98% reduction in border crossings, in captures, in gotaways. I mean, the numbers are staggering. If nothing else, you can look at the pictures. If you look at just the pictures of those parts of Texas from just a year ago under Biden versus today, it looks like somebody, I mean, it looks like parkland now. It's grassy area. The grass is back. The trees are back. A year ago at this time, it was, you know, a small migrant town, and now it's a park again. It's amazing.
It is truly amazing, you know. And I mean, it just puts the lie that many of our Democratic friends are putting on us, right? We have to pass the law. We have to right. have comprehensive immigration reform. No, you secure the border. And that is a federal responsibility, which Biden clearly neglected and clearly encouraged people to come across the border. And so to lock it down is important. Now we've got to continue the job. And, you know, the president, you know, has really shown, you know, how easily you can do that with leadership and by making the right policies. You know, the president has been working on a whole lot of different things in addition to, you know, to immigration. You know, one of the things is slashing regulations. The data says that under the Biden years, a family of four is going to have about $3,000 per person in new regulations every year. And what the president's doing is he's having, for every new regulation, there are 10 out.
Right.
And that's going to save families thousands of dollars in extraneous costs. It's going to, you know, push this down over the next few years. That's going to be huge, you know. Because, you know, the administrative state has kind of gotten control of things, and we see it both on the state level and on the federal level. The government just kind of runs itself, and the way it runs itself is let's turn out new regulations, make things more difficult. And no wonder we have energy problems. No wonder we have health care problems. No wonder we have immigration problems. It's the system, you know, has got too many regulations. They don't make sense. They're punitive.
Right.
And the president is changing that. And that's going to be one of the most important long-term things that the president's going to do.
We're talking with former Governor Dr. Jeff Collier, who was Kansas state chair for President Trump's 2024 election campaign. Dr. Collier, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you saw the interview that the president did with Kristen Welker. It was so interesting how the left is really trying to figure out how they can gotcha question this president as if they haven't learned their lesson yet. But one of the things that I found most amusing is she tried to catch him on the economy. And, you know, they can't hit him on eggs anymore because the price of eggs is now dropped remarkably. So, you know, she brought up the fact that, well, some clothes, and I'm quote paraphrasing here, but she basically said some clothes are going to cost more and some items are going to cost more and some things may cost more. She brought up the doll analogy that he used. And he said, are you kidding me? The price of gasoline has gone from $6, $7, $8 a gallon to less than $2 a gallon. And you're asking me about a couple of different styles of clothing? I mean, these people are just so desperate to try and get him on anything. It's like if there's any one product line that happens to be slightly more expensive, oh, then the sky is falling and Donald Trump is to blame. But when everything else seems to be turning in the right direction, they're blind to it.
Well, you know, under Biden, things got way more expensive.
Everything did. Okay. Yes.
Everything did. And, you know, if you go to McDonald's, it's pretty easy to spend $10, $14 on one meal
right.
For one person at McDonald's. That happened under Biden, and that's because of regulation. It's because of increased energy costs. It's just up and down the line here. And the president is trying to drive down costs over the next few years, and it's a big hole we're in. And, you know, we've stopped digging. Now we're starting to fill it in. You know, and one of the ways that the president's filling in is, you know, we have $45 trillion in natural resources in the United States. Making that accessible for mining and drilling, that's a huge thing. You know, that actually helps Kansans.
Right.
You know, Kansas is the eighth largest oil and gas state. And if we can produce more of our own oil and natural gas and sell it, that helps our state's economy immensely. You know, if we can also manufacture more aircraft, more manufacturing in Kansas, we do much better. And that's what the president's, you know, fight about tariffs is about, is, you know, let's make these things here. Let's make us an exporter again rather than just a net importer. And is for so many years, for so many decades, this has been ignored, all of the cheating that goes on. You know, we actually, you know, for example, we sell more cheese to Guatemala than we do to the European Union. And that's cheese that's made in Kansas, by the way. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? It's because of these regulations that are right on there. And so, you know, by doing that, by having higher value, better paying jobs here, and driving down the costs of things, we're going to be in a much better place. It's going to take some time. Let's not kid ourselves. It does take time. But, you know, I think we're starting on the right track.
Well, Governor, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on a Sunday evening. I do have to ask. I mean, it is incumbent upon me to do this. I'm fairly certain the answer that I'm going to get. But, you know, if I don't ask, then my producer and my boss here at the station are going to give me a hard time. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation right now. There's, what, you know, I don't know, 8 to 10 different people who are at this point thinking about or toying with the idea of running for governor. Your name has come up in that conversation. Have you, you know, am I seeing a Collier for Governor website cropping up? I'm about to ask you if they want to connect with you. Is it Collier for Governor that they connect you with, or are you still weighing it and praying about it, quote unquote?
You know, we're looking at this.
There we go.
Of course we are. And, you know, actually, President Trump really, you know, he really brought it forward, which was, you know, when you're president number 45 and then you're 47, you can hit the ground running.
Yes.
And as lieutenant governor, we actually hit the ground running. And when I left Kansas government, we had 1,448,000 Kansans working, more than any other time in history. We had 50 years of school finance lawsuits, and I fully funded schools. I actually put in billions of dollars, solved that problem without raising taxes, and we did it because we privatized the Medicaid program and actually made it more efficient. And that's still throwing off $1 billion a year. I gave Laura Kelly a $900 million surplus, more Kansans working than ever before. And believe me, it's going backwards. And I won't stand for it.
Well, I like hearing that. I like hearing that you won't stand for it, because I do think there is something to be said for that level of experience. And Lord knows it's going to be a crowded field. So when you do make a decision, you'll have to let me know so we can have you come back on the show.
You will be one of the first, my friend. You will be one of the first to know.
Doc, if folks want to connect with you until there's a Collier, or if there's a Collier for governor or whatever it is, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah. We don't have a website up right now.
So he's working on it. So there you go. So, here's what they can call me, and I know how to get in touch with you. How's that?
Absolutely. Any friend of John Whitmer's is a friend of mine.
We're recording that, by the way. We're going to keep that for posterity. Governor, thank you again. I appreciate you. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
It's great talking to you, John.
Thank you, sir.
Happy Star Wars Day.
Yes, yes. May the 4th be with you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then my buddy Andy Hoosier, the guy who gave me a start in radio, will join us. And we're going to play some of our man on the street interviews from yesterday with some of the anti-Trump protesters who've been gathering in downtown Wichita over the past few months. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period.
That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I should point out this music is not related to Andy Hoosier, but to the people we're talking about, just so you know. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 K. And I just had to. I mean, you spend any time with these folks, this music is very apropos, trust me. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at AmericansForProsperity.com. AFP believes in freedom and opportunity. Those are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org in order to sign up and make your voice heard. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and True Social page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, protesters have been flooding the streets of downtown Wichita over the last couple of months, either at Nafziger Park or right downtown at Douglas and Washington. Douglas and Broadway, rather. Why? Well, who knows? We've had as many as 1,200 protesters on and off over the past couple of months. This last Saturday, my buddy Andy and I, who, by the way, Andy Hoosier, the host of the Voice of Reason, a nationally broadcast show, he and I decided to go down, and I owe my whole start on radio to Andy Hoosier. We decided to go down on Saturday and talk to some of the folks who've been protesting, and Andy joins us now. Andy, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Yeah, good to talk to you, John. Yeah, I do think that that music is appropriate for both the protests and maybe for my show just a little bit as well. So it's okay. But yeah, that's okay. But yeah, it was definitely appropriate for what we encountered down there at the protest this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Phil and I were talking last hour, and you know, I noticed as I'm telling him, you know, I saw a bunch of trans flags, rainbow flags, Mexican flags, Ukrainian flags,
Palestinian. Yeah.
Palestinian, yes. I forgot the Palestinian flags. But, you know, the only American flag I saw was the guy carrying one upside down. Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's just so interesting and so very un-American. We've got about a half a dozen or so clips that I want to play, and then you and I can kind of talk about it. The first one is from this lady represents an organization that is constantly out there campaigning and advocating as if they're quote unquote nonpartisan. She's from Women for Kansas. And this is actually one of the people that you talked to.
But I'm a part of an organization called Women for Kansas, which is a statewide organization. And our issue between now and August of 2026 is we will be asking for grants and spending money on, just like we did on the constitutional amendment to support abortion rights, and we will be supporting do not elect Supreme Court judges.
Okay, how come?
We used to elect Supreme Court judges.
Long
and it
pause
was so corrupt,
there. Long pause.
They changed it. So that ought to tell you where we're headed when you elect Supreme Court judges.
Gotcha. What's the system we have now?
There is a panel of, I'm not 100%, I have all these rights.
Again, can't answer.
So there's a panel of lawyers that get together, there's a group, and they get three people, and then it goes to the governor, and the governor picks among those three people.
And do you think that's a proper representation of the people of Kansas, having a group of lawyers?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Because they know.
They know the legal side.
They know who's qualified, number one. I mean, you probably don't even have to have a law degree to be a Supreme Court judge, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to have one to be a Supreme Court judge.
Yeah. So we have the state legislature that's overwhelmingly Republican, and then we have the governorship that kind of goes back and forth. And our current Supreme Court has had the most amount of overturned cases in higher courts than any other state Supreme Court in the nation.
That is not true. We have not had the most overturned cases. If I had my sheet,
that actually is true.
I would tell you, and if you want me to send it to you, I can.
So not electing Supreme Court justice, is there another alternative of doing maybe what we do at the federal level? Having the governor nominate someone that goes through a confirmation hearing with the Senate and do that kind of process.
I don't really have an opinion on that because I haven't studied that or really known that, you know, I'm not going to speak just off the cuff on something I haven't researched, but yeah.
She really knew her stuff, didn't she, Andy?
That's the thing, John. She's supposed to be this leading fighter that we're going to stop the change of the process of our Supreme Court nominees, but couldn't remember the process that we currently had to pull it out of her you-know-what to say that she somehow is an expert on this and that that's a proper representation. Imagine that, John, that we get to the point that a handful of lawyers from a bar association is a true representation of the mindset of people in Kansas to nominate people for the Supreme Court for the governor to pick. And that's a legit process that has transparency that represents people of Kansas. And when asked about the federal side, she had no clue what that process even was. Like, who are these people that think that they're the experts on Kansas policy?
Andy, this lady didn't even think that judges should have law degrees. The Supreme Court. I mean, this woman. I mean, I was shocked when I heard that interview. I don't know how you kept a straight face during that interview, but I'm sitting here just thinking, you know, oh my God.
Well, we both had this different style to try and interview these people. Me, with the, of course, the appearance that I have, I tried to blend in a little bit more with these individuals to let them let their guard down and think that I'm on their side, to ask them questions that would back them into these corners. So when I ask them the most absurd, ridiculous questions, they just gush over it and they love it because they think that we're just all about it and that we're just going to sing roses together. I mean, it's insane to watch these people.
Oh, it was entertaining. So this next one, I had the conversation with him, and he, you know, this was his sign was, well, apparently Trump's a tyrant.
Your sign says stand, fight against tyranny. How is Donald Trump a tyrant?
Well, for one thing, it's all his executive orders. Defund PBS. Get rid of it. PBS and NPR. Get the New York Times, the 60 Minutes, because somebody said something negative about the risen Christ, the perfect man, the risen Jesus, the new Donald Trump.
So you oppose the executive orders, just too many of them?
Not only that, most of them.
So what about when Joe Biden signed all of his executive orders on his first day?
He didn't sign nearly as many as Trump did. Trump has signed
close to it.
Orders.
So when Joe Biden in his first day in office signed 100 executive orders, did you oppose those executive orders?
Most of those were done to undo what Trump had done in his first term.
And if most of Donald Trump's are to undo Joe Biden's, are those right or wrong?
I would just like you people to know that an 80-year-old woman can control her sex life.
And I would say it's none of my business. Well, but
there you go. An 80-year-old woman can control her sex life. That I don't know where that came from, but yeah, this was that conversation. And Andy, I don't know why. Personally, I don't know why she chose to share that, but you can see how the double standard doesn't apply to these folks.
Well, it's not only the double standard. It is the true fact that we experience the TDS before our eyes, the illness,
yes,
the disease, and the virus of Trump derangement syndrome, because what they said they were fighting for were things that Democrats have done forever. Trump's actually doing what they're saying that they want to see done, but they don't want it done because Trump's the one doing it. They would rather see the country burn and go down with Trump not doing the same policies that they actually are calling for than actually watch Donald Trump succeed in doing it, because Trump's doing it the wrong way. So they want it done. They just don't want Donald Trump to be the one to actually make it happen.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned, by the way, we're talking with my buddy Andy Hoosier from the Voice of Reason. Let me just play this next one. I'm glad you mentioned Trump derangement system, because this is another one that you talked to. And this was about Nazism. And, you know, everything's Nazism and Nazism, but of course they can't define what Nazism is.
My main issue on the other side of it is the Nazis, the people that are feeling empowered to say racist things, anti-Semitic things about immigrants, about people that, you know, like I said, haven't had their day in court.
So anti-Semitism an issue for you?
Anti-Semitism is an issue in general, but right now with what's going on with Palestine, with what's going on around the country, it's not the main focus of anything. I understand that that's something that people that feel that way, people that I consider Nazis.
What's a Nazi to you? But just as a definite, your definition of a Nazi.
So a Nazi to me is, I mean, it's hard to describe exactly outside of just saying what a Nazi was in Germany around World War II. But a Nazi to me today definitely would be someone that's anti-Semitic, but someone that feels that way is not only anti-Semitic, they're going to be racist, they're going to be doing a lot of the, they're going to have a lot of the same feelings that Republicans do, in my opinion, right now.
Going to have a lot of the same feelings Republicans do. That's a Nazi.
That's
apparently.
Right. So apparently I loved his response because he said that anti-Semitism was the definition of being a Nazi, but the idea of anti-Semitism wasn't the biggest issue that's bothering him right now.
Right.
Because that's not a big focus for him right now, but he has a sign saying he's fighting against Nazism that he defines as anti-Semitism, even though anti-Semitism's not a big issue to him right now. From the party who's being the most anti-Semitic we've ever seen since World War II.
Yes.
Because they're literally beating up Jewish students and keeping Jewish students from going to class, beating up Jewish professors at universities, and holding hell because they're saying river to the sea and to end Israel. But anti-Semitism isn't a big deal to him, even though that's his definition of Nazism that he's fighting at this protest. John, my brain hurts, man.
These people
are absolutely insane.
Oh, I know. And again, they don't see the double standard. I had a Nazi. Same thing, guy. The guy with the sign with Elon Musk, because, you know, Elon at one point at a rally made a gesture. And of course, Kamala's made the same gesture. We've seen a dozen Democrats who've made the same gesture. It was just a gesture. He was shouting. He was excited and he happened to put his arm up. Oh my God, heaven forbid. But, you know, he put his arm up. So that was this guy's sign, was the picture of Elon Musk with his arm up and then the red X through it. And the guy says, Elon Musk is a Nazi.
Maybe it's because he has 14 kids.
So because he has 14 kids, he's a Nazi.
And maybe it's because he just goes in there and cuts off aid to homeless, to all kinds of federal agencies, without selecting one, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What am I talking about?
The Doge cuts. So because of the Doge cuts, that makes him a Nazi.
What's wrong with the Doge cuts?
Nothing.
It's eugenics. Eugenics is why he has 14 kids, because he thinks the white race is dying and they're not having enough children, so he wants to have more white children.
I appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
So because he has 14 kids and he cuts Doge cuts, he's a Nazi.
That's right. He's a Nazi. Look, John, this is the rhetoric that made them lose the election.
Yes.
And right now, I've said it many times on my radio program as well. I know you have, too, that the Democrat Party right now is going through an identity crisis. Now, John, we've banned most of the identities of what they've tried to identify as before. So they're trying to go through this new movement of recognizing their issues, almost going to like an AA, we have to admit that there's a problem before we can start fixing the problem. They've admitted something's wrong, but they haven't quite put their finger on the pulse of what that is. And right now that is the rhetoric that they spread, because it's not working. It's ridiculous.
Andy, you know how this works. I've pushed my bottom of the hour break. Can I go to a quick break and then we come back and do a couple more?
You betcha. Let's do it.
All right. We'll stick around, folks. We'll be right back. We're talking to Andy Hoosier, and we'll come back. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is my buddy Andy Hoosier from the Voice of Reason. So Andy, you know, some of the other folks that we talked to, one of the main things that I think came up as we talked to the protesters down there in downtown Wichita yesterday was deportations. And at least the folks that I talked to, the overriding theme was, you know, that it's unfair. It's mean. How dare we send these people back? this was a conversation that you had with someone about deportations.
What are you guys protesting today?
We're out protesting the Donald Trump presidency and or regime.
Okay. Anything specifically?
Yeah, a lot of the policies he's put in place, specifically those against immigrants. I don't think it's right to send people out of the country without due process, especially to another country that they weren't from. Right now, it's specifically towards Donald Trump because he's the one in power right now.
Okay.
In the past, or that's being done outside of America, it should be protested against also if it's along those realms. But right now, we're focusing on what we can.
So when Barack Obama did it, when George Bush did it, was it the same issue?
Well, I didn't look into it as much when they did it, but I imagine they've done due process. I don't know if that's something you can disprove me on.
It's really convenient, isn't it? It didn't notice it when Joe Biden or Barack Obama did it.
Yeah, I love that. That's always their excuse as well. We weren't really looking into it at that time. We don't really know what's going on at that time with Barack Obama or with George Bush. But we know right now, by golly, John, that it's a lack of due process to send people that are here illegally committing crimes out of the country without their due process. And we don't know if it happened before, because I wanted to, and we didn't. It got so loud we didn't get to talk to him about it. But I wanted to ask about, you know, the separating the children at the border and separating families were the buildings that were built by the Barack Obama administration, and right. How many he actually deported then as well. But of course, then they didn't know about it. They weren't looking into it at the time. But now it's a major issue, and it's why they're out there fighting for democracy.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a woman who was so mad that Donald Trump deported three American citizens. And I said, you mean the children? And she said, yes, how could he? And I said, well, because the mother took them with her. Oh, well, that doesn't matter. And I said, well, what was he supposed to do? Separate the children? Well, he can't do that. I said, exactly, which is why he sent them with her when she wanted.
That's
They did, you know, the whole thing. And of course, which led to this conversation I had with a protester who thinks that we should impeach Donald Trump.
Let me see. I'm going to ask you about your sign, if you don't mind. It says he's corrupt. He's destroying us. He's profiting from it. Make you pay. Impeach Trump. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what has Donald Trump done that is an impeachable offense?
He breathes. That's impeachable.
He breathes. That's impeachable.
No, what he's done is destroying our country.
But what specifically has he done that's impeachable?
Oh, let's see. He's deported thousands of people, including American citizens.
Which American citizens has he deported?
I don't know their names. I don't want to talk.
But now he doesn't want to talk.
No, I don't want
to. Okay, I appreciate your time.
Now he doesn't want to talk. He breathes, Andy. He breathes.
This is the dehumanization of Donald Trump, the TDS that's running rampant.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he does. He could be saving world peace, which is what he did in the first administration, which is what he's doing again right now. It doesn't matter. He breathes, and therefore he is the worst human being on the face of the earth. John, the only way that people would have that mindset is if there was a mainstream media outlet that would be telling him that kind of rhetoric with no substantial evidence behind it whatsoever. That's what leads to violence in the streets, and it was pretty close to what we saw down there this weekend.
Well, and that guy, by the way, is the guy who was carrying the Donald Trump bloodied severed head. The picture
imagine
that I've posted that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and that I have posted on Twitter, which are X, by the way. And by the way, that tweet, I'm looking now to see where we're at, because at the start of the show, we were at, at the start of the show, we were at 265,000 views. We're now at 290,000 views. This is the guy who was carrying the bloodied severed head of Donald Trump. And he's impeachable because he's breathing. This is their mind. You're right. It is Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, it is. And I mean, this goes after what we saw in the first administration, you know, Kathy Griffin that had the decapitated
right.
head,
yep.
The Broadway theater performance that was the impersonation of assassinating Donald Trump as the leader. We had Madonna calling for blowing up the White House. We had people that say they want to kick his, you know what, behind the office. You know, this is the ongoing rhetoric, because to them, violence justifies the means. If we can stop the tyrant by being tyrannical, then we save democracy, because we're stopping a tyrant from being tyrannical by being tyrants ourselves. This is their mindset, and the ends justify the means. So they don't care. They have lost all common sense, and they've lost all humanity. That makes me very sad, because I like to have dialogues from the other side, and you can't reason with these people.
No, and that is the one thing that I took away from it is there's just not a whole lot of conversation to be had. I mean, occasionally I would find there were one or two people that I did have pleasant conversations with. We disagreed, but we actually, if you had bothered to talk to them, you could occasionally find some common ground. But by and large, there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of vitriol. There's just no room for even trying to find common ground. And they don't want to find common ground.
No, they don't. And that's unfortunate because, I mean, we've talked about it. The other side for the longest time said we needed to do this. Is when Joe Biden was in office, we need to come back together. We need to have dialogue. We need to move forward as a nation, stop being so divisive, because the right wing, we're just clinging to our guns and our Bibles and how terrible that we are, looking to start a new civil war and rise up against the government, which isn't the case. We can see how violent they are. I like dialogue. I like having a debate. And I've said many times before that, like you said, John, it's, I can respect someone if I can understand how they get to their end game from point A to point B, what their logic actually looks like. I can respect it. I may not agree with it, but I can respect what the stance that they actually take on an issue. These individuals, and again, I would ask them questions that would try to back them into a corner, and they would fall for it every time, and they would talk in circles. That shows that they don't have one single individual, unique, original thought at all. It's regurgitation of talking points, and when challenged on it, they cower, they walk away, or they get angry. And it's very evident. And I mean, these are people that you'll never be able to change their mind because they're too emotionally involved.
Yep, you nailed it right there, brother. Andy, again, I appreciate it. And thank you, by the way. I would not have this seat behind this microphone if I hadn't had the first seat subbing for you behind your microphone. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with you, they can find you at HoosierReason.com, correct?
That's it. Yeah, congratulations on the show, man. I'm glad it's going well. Yeah, HoosierReason.com. You can find my list of all my great radio affiliates that are growing every week. We're having a lot of fun with that. And the podcast links, all our great social media. We have our blog that I just wrote actually on this issue on how to fight the illness of TDS. That's about ready to come out tomorrow morning. So that'll be a fun one. But congrats on everything, man. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break and pay a few bills. And then Corey DeAngelis, senior fellow at the American Culture Project, will be with us to discuss this last week's Supreme Court hearing on a case on religious charter schools to address the, well, frankly, to see whether or not we might actually finally get real school choice in America. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. Don't forget, if you're looking for a way to get involved, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, when you're online, like and follow the John Whitmer Show and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments this week in a case regarding religious charter schools, specifically focusing on the constitutionality of states funding religious charter schools. The case centers around Oklahoma's approval of St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School, which would be the nation's first publicly funded religious charter school. The Supreme Court's decision could have significant implication for states and the funding of public education. With us now is Corey DeAngelis. He is a senior fellow at the American Culture Project and a visiting fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research. Corey, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So the Oklahoma Statewide Charter School Board versus Drummond case challenges Oklahoma's decision, basically, and they're saying, you know, this is, it's challenging the approval of this charter school, which would make it the first publicly funded religious charter school in the country, correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. I think we're going to win this case. It's pretty clear cut. In 2020, there was a Supreme Court case called Espinoza v. Montana, dealing with the school choice program, and we won that case. And Chief Justice John Roberts, who's the swing vote apparently in this current case, had said at the time, quote, "A state need not subsidize private education, but once it decides to do so, it cannot exclude schools solely because they are religious," end quote. That's exactly what Oklahoma is doing. So they initially approved the Catholic charter school, and then the attorney general sued and tried to stop it. And the attorney general is a total hypocrite, by the way. He sent his own kids to private school, a religious school, and now he's fighting against other families having that same kind of opportunity. And so they ended up reversing the decision and getting rid of that charter school and didn't grant them the ability to open because they were religious. So this is simple discrimination. It's a violation of the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. And I think we're going to win the case 5-3. You may be wondering, why isn't that at 9? Well, Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from this case because of her affiliation with Notre Dame University and the people that work there. So I think we don't need her vote anyway. So it should be a 5-3 decision with the three liberals siding against religious families and schools. But yeah, I think we're going to win, and that'll open up the door to religious charter schools basically all across the country. I think there's about 47 or 48 states that have charter school laws on the books, North Dakota being a new state to add charter schools this year. And that's going to unleash education freedom. You'll have more options on the table than you had before, which now will include religious options once it goes our way. And the real reason that this had to go to the Supreme Court, the question at hand is whether a charter school in a locality is a government-run institution.
Right.
And there are some places that have government-run charter schools, including in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They have some that are run by the government. But the one question in Oklahoma, they're privately operated. Just because you have a public label in your state on a charter school doesn't make it a government-run institution. So, again, I think it'll go our way. It's another win on school choice, or will be, coming off after we've had 16 states now just at the governor's mansion yesterday in Texas with Governor Greg Abbott signing into law the biggest day one school choice victory in U.S. history. We just got a universal school choice bill across the finish line in Texas. That's the 16th state to do so. They're all red states in the past 4 years. So there's a lot of momentum. The wind is at our backs, and it's a great time to be a school choice advocate.
We'll of course need to fix our governor's race, our governor's mansion rather, and to get that here, yep, in Kansas, because with Laura Kelly, that'll never happen. But the key here is, you know, whether or not states can fund these religious charter schools without violating the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which prohibits the, yep, government from establishing or endorsing a religion. That's why this is such a key decision, because if the Supreme Court sides with them, it then would allow that. And I don't think this does in any way violate the Establishment Clause, does it? Because you're not endorsing a particular, yeah, religion, as long as the state doesn't say, well, we will fund the Catholic school but not the Muslim school, for example, then it would. But otherwise, yeah, it's not, correct?
Exactly. So they have to, the ruling would say that you cannot pick and choose which religions are okay and which are not. That,
right,
would be a violation of the Establishment Clause. That would be the government putting their thumb on the scale and saying we can only have Catholic schools. That's not it. That's not the issue here in this case. They're saying you are a Catholic school, so therefore you are religious and you cannot open. So it would open the door for all types of religious schools to open, which currently is okay in the pure private sector today. You can have private religious schools of all types. So it wouldn't change that, but it would change it for the charter schools within different states. So that's one case. There was another case last week or 2 weeks, or the week before this one, a couple weeks ago, that came out of Maryland of all places, and had to do with allowing families to opt out of gender ideology.
Yes, I saw this story. That was a huge story because the difference in most of these is it's opt in. This is the state wasn't allowing kids to opt out of this stuff.
Exactly, and they used to. They used to.
Right.
The district used to allow families to do it. They got lobbied by the trans groups, I guess. And now they force families to have their kids in these institutions they vehemently disagree with, that goes against their deeply held religious beliefs. I'd say the government school system itself discriminates against religious families all across the country,
I
even without,
right,
these kind of classes, because you got to make a choice, and the choice to not have religion, that is that goes against families' deeply held religious beliefs, too. If they want to raise their kids with a religious moral compass and worldview, you can't send your kids to the government schools. You have to pay out of pocket, and that's not fair to religious families. So I think they should take it a step further and not just allow the families to opt out of the system. They should also be able to take their money with them to a private school that aligns with their values. That would have a far-reaching impact of having school choice all across the country. I don't think that'll be where the decision goes with that case, but at the very least, the families are going to be able to opt out. I think it even goes 7-2 maybe with Kagan showing some sympathy for the families of one of the liberal justices on that decision.
I think you're right. I watched bits of the coverage of that, and I think you're right. I think they're gonna side with that one as well. Corey, I appreciate you. Thanks you again. I know it was kind of a last minute for when I reached out to you via Twitter to have you come on, but I appreciate you coming on. If folks want to reach out, I know you've got a book out, The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Running Our Schools. That's available on Amazon. And if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at DeAngelis Corey, correct?
Absolutely. And that book was endorsed by Trump and it hit the USA Today bestseller list. And it's 50% off on Amazon right now. They only have a few available at that price. So if you want to check it out, The Parent Revolution.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Yes, likewise. Appreciate you. You know, folks, we're up against the top of the hour. I appreciate you. Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget, this show, it will be rebroadcast. We're starting that again. We started it just yesterday. So you can now catch the John Whitmer Show rebroadcast on Saturdays from 1 to 3. And we've got a bunch of new stuff coming up, great guests coming up. Former Senator Phil Graham will be with us next Sunday. And we got a few other major guests that I'm not going to tell you about right now. And don't forget to join me tomorrow night at 5 o'clock on Newsmax TV. I will be on the Todd Starnes show talking about the protests yesterday. Just crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy.
I wish I could have been a third wheel there with
you. Well, the next time we go, you'll have to come with us.
You and Andy, that could be really interesting.
Yeah, we brought a buddy of mine, Jason Carmichael, came with us and took some pictures and it was kind of fun having a body man, for lack of a better term, just because some of the people were getting a little pushy and a little crazy because, you know, they also know I'm here and I'm the chair of Sedgwick County Republican Party. So there was one guy who was kind of going around and said, "Don't talk to him. He's a Republican. Don't talk to him." Yeah, there you go. Don't talk to me because I happen to disagree with you, but I was being polite the whole time. The tolerant left. Once again, thanks for joining us. See you next week. In the meantime, carry on.